If you could add three sentences to the Bible, what would you add? How about, someone is coming, someone is here, and someone is coming again? The entire Old Testament tells us about the prophecy of the coming Messiah. For example, in Isaiah 53, verse 12 says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Who does this sound like? Who bore the sins of many? Is this talking about Jesus? Did Jesus come on this earth and die for us on the cross and bear our sins? Yes. Jesus loved us so much, he gave his life that we have a chance to enter heaven. If you guys want to, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis 3:15. Chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, God doesn't specifically say Jesus in this passage, but he implies it. From the very first sin in the world, right when Adam and Eve bit of the fruit, God already had a plan in mind. He already knew he was going to send his son. For example, in Isaiah chapter 2, it says, "It shall come," or verse 2, Isaiah 2, verse 2, it says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that on the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it." What is God talking about? He's talking about his church. Now, he says he's going to build it on the highest mountain. Is he talking about Mount Olympus? He's talking about Mount Everest? He's not specifically stating a mountain. How many churches are there to God? There's one church. Now, obviously, God knows what the Catholic Church is and the Presbyterian Church, but to him, there's only one true church, and he's going to build it on the highest mountain. He knew from the very first sin in the world in Genesis chapter 3 that he was going to have to send his son to die on the cross, bear our sins, and establish the church. Now, let's see what the Bible says about how someone is here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. How many of us in this room have created or have fulfilled that one prophecy when we're born? Jesus already fulfilled a prophecy right when he was born. And how many of us in this room have fulfilled that very prophecy of being born of a virgin mother? None of us, because it's not physically possible naturally. But it is for him, because he is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, it says, in verse 13, Matthew chapter 3, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan of John to be baptized by him." And 17 says, verse 17 says, "Behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.'" So, Jesus was baptized and God was well pleased. What do you think would happen if Jesus was not baptized? Do you think God would be pleased in him? No. So, what do you think if we're not baptized? God would not be pleased in us if we are not baptized. But how about this? How about if there was a chance when you were baptized back there, or wherever you were baptized, what if there was a chance where God was in heaven saying, "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased." Those words are very powerful. And what if God said that to you when you came out of the water? Just think about that for a second. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, verse 46. And it reads, "And about the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" What is he talking about here? Why did God turn his back on Jesus? Jesus and God have not been separated up until this point. I'm not saying Jesus is not God. Jesus is 100% God. But why has God turned his back on him? Because he bore the sins of us. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life so that we have a chance of getting into heaven. How can you repay someone that got scourged at, cursed at, mocked, beaten, suffocated, suffered, spit on, pierced with a spear, and crucified? That's the thing, it's an unpayable debt. And now let's see what the Bible says about coming again. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it reads, And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were gazing in the heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So what happened here? Jesus went up on a cloud going into heaven, and he's going to come back down on a cloud. You know that song that we sing? Behold, he comes riding on a cloud at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. That's what he's talking about. We don't know when he's coming back. Only God knows when he's coming back. And that, imagine that sight, Jesus coming back on a cloud. That would be a magnificent sight. Unless if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. John chapter 3. 3 through 6. Actually, I'll just start in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. And when Jesus says water and the Spirit, he's talking about physical water, H2O, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And also, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6 says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Some people say, well, he's just talking about your first birth. Well, look again in verse 3. It says, one is born again. How many times can you be born physically? Once. Also in verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus isn't talking about prayer here. He's talking about physical baptism, physical immersion in the water, and spiritual immersion into the Holy Spirit. Jesus also explains how he wants us to live when he was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus avoided every single temptation that we face today. Hebrews 4:15 says, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. He faced the temptations that we have, but yet he did not sin. We need to look up to God, or we need to look up to Jesus, and we need to overcome temptations like he did by quoting scripture. So now we can say that Jesus is probably the overall theme in the Bible, wouldn't you say that? I mean, from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, some people say, well, God's not Jesus. Well, look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jump down to verse 14, and clearly explains that the Word they're talking about is Jesus. The He is Jesus. So go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, oh yeah, and that's kind of funny, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, John 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, implying that Jesus was with him. Jesus is God. Also, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, the very last verse of the Bible says, The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Isn't that interesting? The very first verse of the Bible, the very last verse of the Bible talk about Jesus. Very first, the beginning of the Bible, the very end of the Bible talk about Jesus. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. So let me ask you, how important is Jesus to you? Personally, how important is he to you? Some say Jesus never lived. He was just a myth. Some say he lived, but he was simply a good man and influential teacher. Others say he was a deeply religious man who believed that he was the Jewish Messiah. Others say he was a cunning imposter who deceived people into believing he was the Messiah. And then some say he is the Christ, the Son of God. You say the last one, you'll be right. Jesus appears throughout the Bible, and he wants you to get to heaven. He died for you on the cross, but there are some steps that you must take. You must believe in God, John 3:16. You must repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. You must confess your sins, Romans 10:9. You must be baptized into the flesh, into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as we saw in John 3:3-6, as well as Mark 16:16. And that's not it. You must live faithfully until death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus wants you to get to heaven, but it's just a matter of you applying these steps to your life. Jesus laid his life down for us, and how can we thank him? We can't thank him in hell. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? When the rich man died and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, the rich man wanted one drop of water in his tongue to cleanse the excruciating pain. And the rich man wanted Abraham to tell Lazarus to put a drop of water on his tongue. Why didn't the rich man just get his own water? Well, because once you're in hell, you can't escape. So how can you thank Jesus if you're in hell? It's not possible. Imagine just going to heaven and seeing all the Old Testament prophets like Moses and Abraham and Jesus and all the New Testament apostles and disciples. Imagine that sight. That would be amazing. So someone was coming, someone was here, and someone is coming back. That someone is coming again. Jesus is coming again. So let me ask you, are you ready?